This is a trigger warning for anyone out there that has some personal history or any issues with alcohol use or consumption or alcoholism. You might want to actually skip over this episode. Just go ahead and go watch One False Step and then catch up with us on the next episode.
Dr. Jackson gave me the news of a planet far away. And Colonel O'Neill will assemble a team that will try to save the day. Sam has a master plan and a science attitude. And the Jaffa Tube, he's part of the deal with his trusty Goa'u. It's just a regular day at Stargate Command, and it might be hard to understand.
Back to Three Fresh Short, very special episode. This is future us. Like, we already recorded the episode. Past us recorded it. This is future us
but
now.
Past us did a sloppy job, so future us had to come in and give you guys a cleaner intro. So we are very excited about this.
Why were we
for you all?
Why were we so sloppy, guys?
Why do you ask?
I do actually believe that it was Sarah's idea for us to do a drunken episode of the podcast.
And drunken it was.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of drunk history.
Me too.
I think it's some exquisite storytelling. Love it.
And what better episode than to do a drunk episode than One False Step? One of the most disliked. Maybe more than Emancipation, guys. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh,
hated
God.
For different reasons, maybe?
I was going to say different camps. Like, hated for just pure hitting a swing and a miss. Nothing but net. Like, zero execution.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Emancipation is, like, vile.
That's just, like, bad tropes.
Yes.
Outdated, misogynistic. This is just, like...
This is like a Fern Gully wannabe. This is what Fern Gully and Avatar were trying to accomplish or accomplished way better.
Just watch Fern Gully, guys.
It did not. It failed.
Okay. So
yeah.
So what? How do you guys? We also did before. We did a live watch party on TikTok where we watched the episode, and then we went straight into recording it. So also, we were fresh off of watching it. We didn't really have notes or anything. So this was a first time thing for us.
Yes.
It was fun. Yeah. It was a hell of a time.
For those who were with us, it was so much fun. We were TikTok live doing it. So we're going to try to do this in the future. So if you do follow us on there, or we'll kind of give some updates on when we might do more watch parties. Yep. But it was great to go through it. And drink along the way, but I highly enjoy there was definitely a turning point, which you guys will be you'll hear it here in a moment. It gets fun. It gets interesting.
Yeah. What I liked is we tried to do a lot of different things in the same weekend. Cause we were like, let's try a watch party. Let's live stream everything. Oh, but let's also do it during our drinking episode. So we stacked a lot of things all at the same time. But what I would love to keep doing the watch parties, and I'd still be down with like live, being live while we're recording, even, not with that much drinking ever again.
Very ambitious.
I was excited. I mean, it was warranted. It was the only way to get through it. But you're right. It was a lot we were trying to do all at once for the very first time. And I got to say, kudos to us for pulling off all of what we did with it. Minus the fact that, you know, at some point I drunkenly pulled my audio mic out and went mute for half of it.
And while you did Sarah and I went off in conversation somewhere in a completely, who knows, You'll hear, everyone, you'll hear.
Yeah,
hear
I'm excited for this. If you follow, if you're listening to us, you know we're incredibly authentic. Like, this is not meant to be some polished up perfection. This is literally having fun with our fandom, expressing our episodes the way that we see fit. And this was how it felt fitting to just get sloshy and move on.
Yeah, so here we are. We know this episode is a stinker. And like, why would anyone want to watch us talk about like a stinker episode? Like, we had to make it fun. We had to like,
absolutely.
What's the catch? The catch is we're smashed and fully unhinged. And ooh. I hope you enjoy it. Rebecca has to do some major like editing. That's the word, right?
Yep, editing. Yeah.
It's not going to be the full thing, guys. We don't want to be fully completely unhinged. So no. Rebecca's going to compile the greatest hits of our drunken episode.
Yes.
But before that, we have some really cool Frybox news that we have to make sure that we give you some sober space to declare.
Yes.
Correct. Super exciting stuff.
Because I delivered it in the non-sober space, but this feels like a sober space thing. So I just want everybody out there in our podcast world to know that I have accepted a position with The Companion as an associate producer.
Yay.
Probably by the time you hear this, I will have started or will be about to start, depending on how long it takes me to edit this episode. I'm super excited. And it's all happened because of our podcast. And that's all happened because of TikTok. So this is all thanks to everybody out there that's helped make this happen for me. So I really appreciate it. I'm really excited.
We're excited for you.
I'm so super proud of you. It's like, living the dream. You're texting the chat the other day. You're like, I gotta watch Stargate Atlantis. And I'm like, you hear yourself? Oh my god, I have to watch Stargate Atlantis for work
the worst
today.
Thing like, ever.
Could you imagine?
I've started from the beginning already, and I'm some episodes in, Christina. And proud it's not just the Sam Carter episodes, I promise.
Proud of you.
But yeah, I did have the opportunity to sit in on a recording of a super special thing already. Yay. And I really can't wait to be able to help deliver the types of fandom content that I want to see and that we all want to see. So
yes,
I can't wait to get going. I message Lawrence almost every day and I'm like, I'm just so excited. I can't wait to get going. So and it's going to happen on Monday. So
yeah,
just working
very
my
happy
last
for you.
Full-time shift on the ambulance. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Was that surreal?
It was weird. And it was kind of a weird day with calls and stupid things. So it was just kind of a, at the end, that's what it felt like at the end. It doesn't feel like finite because I'm still going to work part-time. So I get to see those folks and everything still.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's my Frybox news.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I think that's pretty much it. So without further ado, you can now enjoy the clip show that Rebecca's putting together of our shit show that went down. So clip show of the shit show.
I love it.
Enjoy.
Here, okay. So ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yep. Ready.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, that was pretty cohesive. I trust drunk us more than sober us.
You know what I just realized?
Keep that white eyeliner.
So good.
I now use white eyeliner all the time.
It's
because
so
of,
good.
I was like, oh, it makes my eyes look bigger. That's awesome.
It does. I have to confess, I don't think I've ever watched this episode straight through.
Really?
I can't. It's just like, it's too much. Or not enough or something. Yeah, it's bad.
Oh, there's Daniel and his allergies.
Hey, one of the few references, right?
Yes.
Man, the allergies do come in.
They do, big time. Big time. Which should like be a hint at how sensitive the botany or whatever is. But whatever.
Only when the plot calls for it.
Like what's the
where's the bodysuit manufacturer on this planet is what I wanna know. Like
they could have like done a little bit, taped it a little bit up here or something, or like,
yeah,
it's the '90s. Sarah, excuse you. That's my man right there.
He's doing such a good job.
Can you imagine him acting this? I want to ask him about this scene.
How many of those extras just lost it when he was doing that is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know. The walk. It almost looks like the walk that you make when you step on a Lego brick and then are trying to walk it off after that.
No, Sarah said it's the one when you have to go take a shit.
I like how he had to reach out to find things to shove off the desk. Like, usually that's just like the things are like readily available, but he had to kind of reach out a little bit to make it happen.
I'm to the point where I cannot feel my face, so.
Oh, Sarah.
I love her white eyeliner.
It's so
good. I didn't even understand the concept of white eyeliner until.
It's so good.
Actually, Sarah, you talking about it, and I was like, holy crap, this is opening a world of makeup to me. Daniel's hair is like extra like coiffed in this episode.
I also like how they're finally letting RDA wash that fucking shoe polish out of his hair and let his grays come through.
Let the gray. We like the gray. We like the gray.
We do like the gray.
She talks to her plants.
She does.
So cute.
I do too, and they're dead, so I don't know what that means.
Welcome back, everyone, to Three Fries Short, unearthing the Stargate. This is a special, special episode, guys, because one, we're trashed. I can't feel my face. I probably have to pee, but I can't really tell right now.
It's all right. And if bio breaks have to happen, it's fine. We can make that happen.
Yeah, we'll have to just make it. We'll run like those people in the episode.
Yes.
But we did a watch party on TikTok live, and we're also streaming this episode.
We still have some brave 16 viewers still with us.
Troopers.
I'm impressed. Troopers. So if there may be some points where if somebody comments on something, we might interject those comments. So we'll try to make that make sense for people just listening to this audio and not having been here. So I will do my best to make that make sense for everybody.
Thoughts and prayers, girl.
Thoughts and prayers. This is your sign that you should have just been following us on TikTok, and that's on you, not on us. But yeah, anyway,
I was going to say something, but I forget now.
Maybe this is your sign to like check out TikTok in the first place. Maybe you aren't on TikTok. I mean, I know we assume that most of our followers are from TikTok, but maybe there are people that aren't. So,
like, maybe some people who found us from the companion.
You can literally just go to TikTok and like just look Stargate TikTok up and enjoy yourself with a whole bunch of like nerdy Stargate stuff. So I highly recommend.
We should just go into this.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
So you might ask, like, why are you drinking, guys? We've never done this before. And it's like, listen, you almost have to be completely trashed to make it through this episode. It's a requirement. I don't think I've ever watched the episode fully by itself before, because I'm just like, I can't. This is hot garbage.
Trash.
And I'm rude. Listen, this is all jokes. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to offend anyone. Any of the writers or producers or Brad Wright, like,
I mean to offend the writers.
Yeah, because they could be listening at this point. So
this is all fun, all good spirited jokes. Like, haha, like oh, you got like,
it's Sarah. That's putting a Band-Aid on this wound we've opened. I appreciate that, but I think we've established we think it's trash.
Listen, out of all great things, there has to be one like trashy, terrible thing, and it's okay.
Maybe.
Like, they can't all be good. But
what episode are we talking about, Sarah?
It's season 2, episode 19, One False Step.
One False Step.
The mushroom people. Like, we've been planning this for a long time. I think, like, when we were looking ahead at the episodes. And
months we've been
planning this. We were, like, looking ahead. We're like, okay, we have, like, holiday and then Swordbirds. I'm like, oh, God, then we have one false step. Jesus Christ. What are we?
How do we get through one false step?
And then I made the brilliant suggestion. We should just be trash the whole time.
So this is, like, the drunk history version of Three Fries Short, or Three Fries Shwasted is what I'm probably going to call this episode. Wasted.
Schloshed.
Schloshed, if you will.
Schloshed.
I love drunk history.
Me so too. Funny. I absolutely love, I have learned more from drunk history, like, personally, than
it's so funny.
I'd like to admit, probably. So
I aspire to that level of storytelling, honestly. So entertaining. And it should be more normalized. Like, let's, I wish I learned history in high school that way, because I would have absorbed way more and enjoyed it way more.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not how it shook out.
Also, but anyway. I apologize to anybody listening to this recording if I was unable to cut out any of the background noise. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got my central AC going.
It's okay.
It is what it is.
I'm just setting up the disclaimer now. So now you know I've apologized. So I will do what I can.
Can I read this quote that I found when I toggled over, Sarah, to the, there's another option that wasn't the transcript. And
oh, yeah.
It says, John Smith, the executive producer, invited me on Stargate to direct One False Step. I had worked before with John on many other shows in RDA on MacGyver. It was toward the end of the season, and I was so attracted to the concept of SG-1. At the beginning of the next season, I was invited back to direct Seth, which did not go well. There was a misunderstanding.
Oh, no.
There was a
stinker.
There was a misunderstanding with one of the producers, and I was not invited back. ... I love doing One False Step, as the aliens had no real language. I hired actors experienced in mime to develop their own communication, and we improved quite a bit with the actors to see the development of trust and language between the two worlds. Shanks was great with assessing the situation and really responsible for making the scene in the shelter, the airplane, come alive. It had great humanity and humor, thanks to everyone's willingness to suspend disbelief and work together. I loved the primitive stick drawings he did in the sand. The writers and producers were very collaborative in allowing the actors and myself and the rest of the creative team, wardrobe, makeup, etc., to come up with a concept and just try to make it work. The production design team at SG-1 was very strong and always surprised me with their invention. That was Bill Corcoran.
Wow.
Also, cosplay and commentary says, I love how Christina is here to insult. She's coming out the gate hot. She's unapologetic. She's like, this is a stinker.
Weaver says, yep.
Throw it in the trash.
Continue.
No, that, I mean, yes. So we can go into it. I just thought that was a great perspective from someone who produced the episode to give their perspective on it. Was kind of a creative trash pit, and she's, they went, like, with it.
Listen, I gotta polish this turd somehow, guys.
Oh my god. Okay, so
I'm proud of this. So yeah, so
let's get into it.
Season 2, episode 19, One False Step. And this, if you can't tell, we're freeballing it. I didn't take any notes. None of us took notes. We kind of half-assed watched the episode 2.
Terribly over.
What happened?
I just overflowed.
Oh, girl.
Her drink.
I have overflowed.
I should drink that. Okay, let's get into the...
Sarah, what are you drinking? Yeah.
Vodka.
All right, cool. This is drinking, like, Prosecco, which is why the overflow thing just happened. So
this has been the best, like, 30-minute... Fry box.
It already ever. Has been. Yeah, it's okay.
Listen, it's so let's fine. Get into Don't worry it. About it. It's fine. That's what editing is for.
Episode opens and they're launching a UAV. They're all very horny for this because they're like, oh, I love when we do this. They're like, yes, But it's no, they kind of are. They make a big
they
show
are.
Of it.
They really are.
Show of it, and they're like, it's all of the bells and whistles get pulled out, and they're all just like,
yeah,
yes.
like O'Neill even says, like, I love when we do this. Like, he makes a comment about it.
Right?
I'm going to need y'all to keep my head out of the gutter. But you cannot let it go there and stay there.
It's not
expected. Why can't we go there? Why?
Because, okay, all right, continue. Where are we at in the transcript?
The very beginning, girl. Page
1, line 3.
Yeah. So they launched the UAV. They're like tracking it with all their terrible 1998 technology. And it like essentially crash lands into this giant mushroom-esque pylon stalagmite thing.
Yeah.
They lost, I don't know. Yeah. Jesus Christ. We barely watched this episode, guys. Let's be real.
So chaotic. Okay, we're going.
And Sam's controlling it with like a fucking Sega Genesis joystick. Like, that we never see again. And they make a point to like zoom in on her.
She's like fine tuning. Like, I don't, it's just really stupid.
It was so silly. But they, I don't know, they lost control. It crash lands. And who was it asked? Oh, Hammond to O'Neill. What did it crash? Yeah, he asked, like, Hammond asked what it crashed into. And we get like Sam. I feel like there's a doctor in Star Trek where it's like, I'm a doctor, damn it. And yes. And yes. Sam's like, that's I'm McCoy. An astrophysicist, damn it. Like, she's like, I'm no botanist, but it looks like a plant, obviously. Girl, like, open your eyes.
Yeah.
So they don't know why it failed. They're trying to figure out why. It's like 10 miles from the gate. And I was like, great. My knee's already fucking hurt from this 10-mile hike that we're going to have to take there and back. Great. Mm-hmm. 6 hours. Awesome. Pack the Advil, guys. And then we get... Oh. And then we see like a strange, naked-looking man walk in front of the camera. And then they're like, oh, wait. There's people-ish things there? Cool. Guess that changes the whole priority of the mission. So
and then intro scene.
Yes, like, intro scene.
Like, I love because they're like, okay, let's set up the planet and let's make it mysterious. Like, oh, we bumped into some organic life forms, but then there's naked people. And then start scene. Like, I have questions. I have so many questions. Anyway, we may continue. It's very, I feel like this is what Avatar would have, I feel like they're trying to get to an Avatar message, but never quite got to that space.
I totally see that. Though, I get
pre-Avatar. Maybe post-Fern Gully. Like, I don't know.
I was going to say, Fern Gully was around at that point. I feel like they're going
Fern Gully probably was around at that point. So
for sure.
Yeah, and like Wraithbait, I think, so in the comments earlier, Wraithbait made a thing about she likes the storyline of it, but just maybe not the execution, which I'm not hating
fair
on the
enough.
Concept of like
fair enough.
The storyline, what they're trying to execute, but the way they did it, it was just
because, A for you know effort.
What? You know,
F for
like
execution.
you did that whole quote with the director, but it sounds like that's the person that's to be blamed about this episode.
I mean, I'm not going to say that, but
he's like, I gotta polish this turd somehow, guys. Make it seem like
but
I didn't phone
he
it.
He like did the opposite of polishing the turd. I don't know.
He sat in it and sang to it and hummed to it with yodels. So
anyway,
okay, continue.
So they go back to the planet.
We gotta push through.
Okay, so they get through the gate. Daniel says like he's trying to explain deja vu to Teal'c, which goes over very poorly. Teal'c.
I think we should read that.
The joke doesn't land. You want to read it?
I think you should read it. Who's right. Teal'c?
I'll be Teal'c. You be Daniel.
I'm always Daniel.
Per norm.
Yeah. Deja vu.
I'm unfamiliar with that term.
It means I feel like I've been here before.
That is correct, Daniel Jackson. Yesterday, when we first arrived on this planet,
Right? What was I thinking? And then he, oh God, I can't, I didn't sign up for Daniel. He sneezes.
Yeah.
Achoo.
So again, achoo. Like,
achoo.
Achoo.
So I guess they've been here before, but like, we missed
I
that part.
I was a little lost, and I wondered if it was because of the Prosecco or because it just wasn't explained very well.
No, it wasn't explained well.
Okay,
trash.
Cool.
And unless, right. I mean, we could all just be like.
No, fair enough. Like, we'll get validation in the comments here in a minute anyway. So
okay. So they're talking about the aliens they saw. Daniel says they look docile, like not harmful or scary. O'Neill very pointed. He very astutely points out that they were bald, white, and naked. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Bodysuits, not naked.
Right, well, listen, I thought for a minute I saw a real live butt in the wild, but we'll get there. try to look at something like deep and actually like not silly
right
in this conversation. No, but like Teal points out it's their planet. Aren't we the aliens? Like, good way to point it. Like, instead of this colonialist behavior of like, we're the normal people 100%. And everyone else is the aliens.
Yep.
He points out, he's like, actually, we're the aliens, guys. This is their world. And then Daniel has to get all like Professor Daniel Jackson. And he says, the word alien refers to anything characteristic of a very different place or culture, anything really strange relative from our own perspective. And Jack says, you think we call you an alien because you're from Chulak? Ha! Huh. It's like, no, you're an alien because like you have a ghoul in your stomach, you weirdo. No, I'm just kidding. But but no, it's I like this conversation. It's it's a good like bit of perspective where it's like we have this view that everything else around us is alien instead of actually maybe we're alien
yeah.
to some other people.
Like, wow.
We need more of that.
We're not the actual center of the fucking universe. Like,
wild concept.
Shocker.
Crazy. All right. So I don't want to read through all this transcript. It's going to take forever.
Not. Okay. So like, let's just talk about the fact that they arrived, they addressed, what it was, and then they interacted with
the one bit of dialogue I like on alien planet PJ2445 with Carter is like O'Neill's like, Captain, why don't you start doing this other shit? And Carter's like, sir, plant life on Earth accounts for more than 80% of our medicinal resources. We should really check it out. And he's like, all right, cool. Yeah.
But like, and I love those. I love those micro moments where as much as I am a silent Sam Jack shipper, because I totally get it. And I know that they ended up together, but like those subtlety moments where he does absolutely give her the authority of thought is so cute. He's like, yep.
Oh yeah, right. You make a good point. Cool. So I like that one.
We do have a question, and I think it's relevant.
I like this question. Yes.
So Wraithbait is asking us, do you think it would have helped? So think about this for if you're listening. Do you think it would have helped the episode if the aliens were less humanoid?
Mm.
I would say yes. I think that they went for primitive based on like the like making sure it looked like they were like naked, that they were not dressed. And there's a couple references to native, which kind of sits a little weird with me. And I think had we detached it a little bit more, we may have been more open to this concept of their living in harmony. I don't know. I think it would have been more
enjoyable if they were not. I agree with that, Wraithbait. I think that's a really good question too.
And I think because they're humanoid, there's a lot more projection put onto them of like, oh, they look relatively like us, so they should be like us and think like us and act like us. So it's that, again, self-centered behavior that we also unfortunately have as humans.
Yeah, so I really actually like this analysis because as three, like, white females, like, again, recognizing, like, kind of that idea of, like, they're...
like there are other representations, there are other situations, other people, and like our mm-hmm. standard is not the standard. And right. I think I like this commentary on it, or this question around it, is that I hate that we have to say, yes, it would have been easier to digest if they were not humanoid. That sucks that we all agreed on that.
Yeah.
It sucks that we all agreed on that. Like, we shouldn't have had to agree on it.
And then bring up the Nox again, too, mm-hmm. where they make the point of like, well, let's not write them off as completely primitive. Like, look at the Nox. We thought they were like childlike primitive beings, and they turned out to be like way ahead of us. So let's not write them off completely yet. But then, like, they find, you know.
Yeah. So I know. I think it just, even just for all of us, be like, wow, that was kind of sucks that it is easier for us to digest if they looked a little bit less like us. Mm-hmm. That says something about our perception, our ability to be open-minded or be flexible. Why don't we get going on a concept that I can sneak away to grab my beer and come back, and you guys keep going on it?
Okay. So we can do that.
Let's just review some more of what happens. So O'Neill pulls out his handy dandy binoculars things, and they see the dwellings in the distance. They look like little mud huts. And they basically go and they find this village of people-ish looking things. They're humanoid. They're naked. Like, I really thought I saw a real live butt in the wild, but they're wearing bodysuits. Like, they're not naked. So if that's what you came here for, sorry to disappoint you.
No.
But they're human. They look very human. They just are a little bit different. They're very pale. They have white body paint on. You know, Jack's like, are they friendly? They all kind of crowd around them too. To like they start touching them, which is kind of weird, but whatever. They're trying to like, you know, I don't know, learn about them as much as they can. O'Neill's not having it. He's like, this is bizarre. And then at one point, one of them takes Sam's knife off of her whatever holster mm-hmm. thing, leg belt, whatever. And she, you know, she tries to get it back from him. She accidentally gets cut in the meantime.
Am I the only one who doesn't appreciate that that was Sam's role to have her knife stolen? Is that like just me? Or
I didn't think about it like that. I just thought like someone has to get cut so that they can have the excuse to talk about like, oh, what were they exposed to? Well, the lube from the UAV and the blah and Sam's blood. Like, I don't think they really cared who it was, but.
I just hate that it was the like female on the team.
But I think it goes to like a lack. I don't think it was an intentional, but I do think it's a lack of being aware.
Yeah.
And being sensitive to it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right.
I am glad that there wasn't like the whole distinction, because I feel like a lot of the time it's like, oh, you're the female among the group. Ah, very special. Like, there wasn't that, at least.
I don't want that either. But I also am like, the woman of the group is the one who has her knife stolen from her.
Right.
True.
I don't really care for that either. Like,
I do think that there's probably when, I don't know, I would guess that when making those decisions, though, that they were probably like, yeah, it probably makes the most sense for it to have been Sam. And I don't love that idea. Don't love that. Because they had to have made that decision of who is it that has it taken. Like, and it does say something about them as a character. Because like, if you had Jack take it, we would have questioned like, man, like, why are you not on top of your shit? Like, Teal'c? We're like, mm-hmm. no, that never would have happened. So I do think there is some intentionality to it, but
very Catherine Powers of them.
But you know, Daniel would have been a reasonable person for that. Could have been Daniel.
True.
Because Daniel's strengths lie outside of mm-hmm. like all of the military stuff. So like it could have been Daniel very easily, but mm-hmm. it wasn't.
So she doesn't get cut. Teal'c has confirmed that this is not common space person knowledge, and they have never encountered this species before. Daniel wants to go talk to them alone. He's like, it's better if I go by myself. Like, I don't need your interference, please, like, leave me alone and I will figure it out. And Jack is like, okay, well, can you ask them about the UAV? Like, can you see if they know where it went? So at one point, okay, so they're in these little mud huts now. Daniel's trying to communicate with them by drawing in the sand. And even when I was watching this, I was like, girl, I don't even know what you're drawing. I can't tell. You expect these
people that was to trash. Tell? That was the worst Pictionary ever.
And at least, like, in future, I feel like they at least draw the Earth symbol from the Stargate. So it's like, we're from here. And it's a little more universally understood. I don't know what he was drawing in this. Like, it looked like a stick figure. But beyond that, it's like, okay, what are you trying to say?
Well, I'm like, I was still slightly sober at that point and still trying to figure it out. And I just don't know.
Right. So what else? He gets frustrated. He takes off his glasses. But then one of the dudes starts to face paint him, and it's kind of cool. It's like, okay, you're one of us. Like, we like you, bro.
But I love that it went, like, over his lips. Like, it was very, like you could just tell. Like, I want to imagine that scene, like, not the show, but, like, the actors. And they probably had to do that scene a many times, and the actors just been like, I'm going to paint your lips. Like, could you imagine how
amazing each time, each take was different. Yeah. We're going to get your ear in one. Now we're going to get your lips.
Yeah,
I want to touch your luscious.
So annoyed because nobody else had their lips painted. He's the only one.
True. Very true.
Oh, God.
So what do we see? What else? Jack's outside. He's just chilling. He's like, this is fucking weird, man. Okay. So this is, if we need to wait, Rebecca had to step away. I know she didn't want to bring attention to it, but I can't go on with this without her here, because it's probably one of the most memeable and funny parts of the episode.
It's so
that
good.
Lives in infamy. All right. So we left off where Daniel's like, I'm going to go talk to them. And he's drawn some shitty stick figures in sand. And then he's got to, like, figure out, oh, he gets face painted. That was very cool. They're like one of us.
Over his lips, remember?
But then he's like, okay, I need to figure out what happened to the UAV. So then we get this most hilarious memeable scene where he's just like around with his arms out like an airplane, like near.
What I love is the literal edit in that scene, which was like, I would love to know what they're talking about in there right now. And that hard cut to what is actually being talked about in there right now is just chef's kiss.
Like, it was really hilarious.
Well, and I think just Daniel being like, all right, I'm going to just fucking do this. This is the only way to do it. I'm going to fucking airplane the shit out of them. I would have lost my shit as an extra.
Michael Shanks committed. He committed for sure. Like, he was like, listen, I'm getting paid. Like, I got to bring it. So he brought it.
I mean, David Spade. Wouldn't have, not David Spade. Oh my God.
James Spader.
Thank you, James Spader.
The spade was there. You were close, girl. Spader, David Spade. I see the
David connection. Spade, James Spader. That's fine.
James Spader would never have airplaned. Would never have.
No.
Anyway, okay, let's move on.
So, all right. They're talking about their little mud huts, their little homes. Ugh. And this is where they bring up where it's like, well, we can't discount them completely yet, because remember the Nox? Like, we thought they were childlike and unevolved, and we were totally wrong about that. And we dropped the ball, shit the bed. Daniel continues to sneeze. That's like a running theme. Like, this is the one episode where he actually does have allergies. Other than that, like, he's a normal, non-allergic dude. But now they're back with a vengeance, and he's sneezing throughout this episode. But then one of these alien creatures, they bring back the UAV. Apparently they understood Daniel's terrible charades, and they bring it back, and it's broken. And they say it multiple times. I don't know why, but it was Teal'c. He's like, oh, he has some of the lube from the UAV on his hands.
Like,
you said lubricant. I'm saying lube now because it's funnier.
But, like, why use that word?
It's like, it looks like oil or something. Like, I don't get lube from that, but whatever.
Oh, lube. Okay.
keeping it all.
I was going to be nasty, but I'm not.
No. Okay. Keep it above.
It was not flavored. Anyway.
It was okay.
Okay. That was not. I just tried to use my AirPod case as my mouse, guys. This is bad. So one of the aliens collapses. They're like, oh shit, what did we do? This is definitely our fault. We definitely messed shit up. Again, this is where their Teal'c says, they appear to have lubricant from the UAV on their hands. And then they start singing, which is the only way they can describe it. It's kind of like a cross between like ghostly echoes and Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
Like thing. It definitely wasn't the actors or the extras making that sound. It was for sure like put in over top of that. It had to have been.
Oh yeah. 100%.
This is where they say some Native Americans, as well as African and Aboriginal tribes, believe that music and chants have medicinal powers. Sam is like, this sounds incredible. Like, she's like, I appreciate this.
And then some dude just falls over.
Yeah. So this is one of the times where they cut to like Doc Frazier's coming off world, which we asked the question in our rewatch. Is this the first time she's come off world? It's one of them for sure. We know of another one that ended very badly.
Yeah.
Not
we
the
don't
best.
Know how many times she's been off world, but
we know
I
of
feel
one for
like
sure.
This is a first for her. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And they come through with like full biohazard stuff. And then like by the time she's done assessing this alien creature person thing, she's like, I guess I don't need this anymore. Take off my hazmat.
Takes
stuff.
All of it off. Yeah. The tests are all clean, so.
So I didn't catch this when we were watching it, because they were talking about like what could have caused this. And this is where like Sam is like, oh, I cut my hand, and Teal'c mentions the lube again. And Frazier's like, it could have been somebody's aftershave. Could you imagine? Where it's like, I spray my Bath and Body Works pumpkin spice marshmallow latte and it completely destroys an ecosystem on another planet.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I like to smell good and I just ruined your entire culture. My bad. So he does tell them that he's been sneezing still. What else? They end up taking him back to Earth, one of the afflicted people, alien things. I don't know what to call them because they're like, I don't want to have
they're
that.
Aliens.
Like,
they're aliens.
Like, but are they or are we the aliens?
Well,
inhabitant
to
whatever.
Us, they are the aliens.
Okay. So that we don't make it complicated. Okay, they're the aliens. Doc Frazier's like, the damage is already done. You already fucked everything up. So Jack, Teal'c, and Daniel stay behind. Sam and Janet go back to monitor his vitals and see if they can find out what's going on.
I don't know. I just know that like Frazier's like, quarantine the sick, which is like not a thing that they do after that. If you mm-hmm. actually watch what is happening. Like,
yeah.
Like, the quarantine is not a thing that happens, really. So,
it's like a half-assed quarantine, something we're
very
familiar with.
It's a half-assed quarantine. So, like, basically, these aliens are dropping down and sick, and it's because we got there. But, like, Frazier's like, all right, quarantine, but like, not real quarantine. Like,
fake. COVID-19 quarantine.
Right.
Like.
And it's like, bitch, no. We're definitely the origin. So.
Stomping around with their big SGC issue boots fucking shit up.
Short, cause we're three fries short.
Do you not believe we are responsible, O'Neal?
Yes, I believe we are not. We should check it out either way.
It is possible an alien went to warn others and spread the disease.
Yeah, I guess. And then, like, O'Neal gets all, like, faint and woozy, and he's like, whoa,
whoa, I got it.
And then I grab your arm and I try to help you.
The bromance is alive and well.
It is. It is. And what do you say?
He says, well, I'm fine. Look, Teal, I know this might be tough for you, but would you mind if we just walked without talking for a while?
Do you feel an illness?
A little headache. I'll be fine. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So, like, now it's not just these alien people that are affected. Like, SG-1 are getting affected somehow, too. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, man. Like, this is not good.
It's some serious shit at this point.
Back on Earth, they're doing more tests. It's very boring.
Blah, blah, blah.
Frazier's like, nothing's conclusive. I'm trying to do all these, like, scans. Maybe I'll try another way. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing happens. But then Frazier through the computer while Carter stands watching the aliens' progress through the window. And Frazier's like, red blood cells, white blood cells, blah, blah, blah. And Carter's like, you're working with a human frame of reference on these test results. And Frazier's like, how am I supposed to know what's normal for these guys?
Mm-hmm.
And Carter's you like, don't. Well, like, you don't. And so, like, how do we know any of this? And Frazier's like, nope, I don't know any of this anatomy. And then we go back to the planet. So there you are.
So I do appreciate in that space the acknowledgement of, like, maybe we're not referencing it from the right mindset, but this is all we have. This is what we know.
Right.
Like, so at least it's, like, intentional in the dialogue.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so. Okay, so back to the planet. It's Daniel O'Neill. So
alien dwelling.
Planet, PJ2445.
Yep.
Daniel walks out of a dwelling, comes across alien one. One of the white plants has grown super tall and suddenly shrinks back to the ground. Only its mushroom-like caps remain on the surface. Daniel is stunned. Whoa. What just happened? The alien squats down to show me what happened because I'm Daniel, of course. He's like, right. So Daniel gives a thumbs up as O'Neill and Teal'c walk up to them. O'Neill says, good impression.
And then O'Neill says, what's up?
The plant, or at least it was.
What?
Well, it had grown to over 6 feet tall. And then when I came up to it, it just shrank back down into the ground. I mean, I feel you there. I'm going to go back up again and see if it does it again.
So it's funny because, like, Daniel does, like, he goes over and squats next to it and he's trying to make it do the same thing again. And Jack says sarcastically, like, from the Twilight Zone, witness if you will, squat. Oh, no, like, squat as in nothing. Okay, I get it. He meant, like, nothing was happening, not, like, an actual squat.
Sarah!
I'm so lost.
Sarah, we love you. We're going to carry you through here. Okay.
Okay.
So, Daniel, well, you saw it, too, like, pointing to the alien and said, see, just like that. Teal'c, I'll be Teal'c, says, many aliens in nearby villages are ill.
So they're spreading it. They fucked it up and now it's spreading. Basically,
the shit is spreading. Like, we don't need
multiple
scenes to dictate what is happening, which is the complaint of the episode to begin with. Am I right, everybody? Like,
yeah, I think it's a total thing on, like, just colonialism and just fucking shit up.
Do we need to play out the rest of this episode, or do we?
No, everyone all was here. Understand? No, people know what happens. What happens? We know what happened. We fucked shit up and we were, I don't know.
There was some kind of, listen, again, I just watched it, but I really didn't pay attention. I don't know what happened, but, like.
Well, there's a point where Daniel O'Neill are both like, I don't feel good either. Which kind of feels like a cop out for the episode. Like, could we not have made an episode where the SGC, like, really fucked it up for a society and there was no detriment to them? Because I would have appreciated seeing that. Like,
I would have appreciated seeing them take ownership even if they weren't impacted.
Right, that's my point.
Is that what you're saying?
Like, yeah, do they like, do we have to have them start feeling shitty too before we're all like invested? Or can we just like have them not feel shitty and they did these like
things? I feel like for an episode that we hate them, for an episode we hate the fucking most, it's really important, this conversation.
I think it is. Anyway. I think this is the crux of the conversation. And I think this is the whole point.
Yeah, because it, okay, one thing that stuck with me is that I get it. It is so Fern Gully and so where Avatar went, but it's trying to say that the people are 1000%, that's not a percentage, 100% impacted by the frequency of these plants and like their well-being and like the whatever they're putting off, that they're, that they are almost dependent on it. Like they're one, they're dependent solely on the frequency of this being in check. And if it goes off check, they can't survive without it. And they have no autonomy over it. And that's frustrating to me. Like, but then all we have to do is just make the plants happy. And then the people survive again.
It makes me think of people like neurodivergency versus like neurotypical, where it's like, SG-1 and Earth are like the neurotypicals, where they're like, they, you know, we don't understand them. There's something wrong with, or forgive me if I misspeak, guys. I'm trying. No.
Just but for the like, record, I'm closing the script out because I think we've addressed what happened.
Okay. Oh, no, so no, no. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're out of that.
But like, I don't, they operate and they exist on a different frequency. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to bring them to our level, you have to put your perspective on from where they come from. And just because they're different does not mean they are less than. It's just they're different.
Mm-hmm. There was a really good conversation, exactly. I think, with O'Neill,
where, okay, so O'Neill says to Daniel, I think you might have lost what's left of your mind. On a good day, you can be a little bit flaky. And Daniel says, on a good day, you can be a little bit ignorant and condescending. Jack says, not condescending. You're obviously misreading a basic philosophical difference of opinion on how to handle a crisis. Daniel says, oh, please, we have a difference of opinion on about everything. You know, like, and Daniel's like, okay, well, what is it? Pick something. What about mythology? And Jack says, rumors, lies, fairy tales. Like, mm-hmm. they're talking about their own differences here, too, of, like, Daniel sees things one way, but Jack sees them a different way. And it's, like, they're all trying to figure out what's going on, seeing things in their own unique way. But they can't apply their own way of thinking to what's, like, they're trying to fit a round peg through a square hole. Am I making sense? Am I just saying words? I don't know.
You're making sense. I think you're making sense.
Rebecca's just, she's gone downhill.
I'm also at the limit of my shit right now. I'm not going to lie.
Oh my God, Rebecca, I love you. Anyway, but okay. So that's our hot mess opinion on all of this. I feel like we should just like close out that podcast and then we can like have discourse on this, but that's let's just close
it out. Here's what's interesting is this podcast episode is going to end up being bizarro in a lot of ways, so I hope that as listeners listen, I hope that as listeners of our podcast, this is not the first podcast that you have listened of ours, because this is not telling of our podcast. But I also think that
I beg to differ. It is.
No, like, wait. I also think that it has merits in its own way of in just enjoying the time in an episode that none of us thought was like that interesting.
It's a hot mess anyway.
So who's closing the iris? Because I already did that shit last episode. So
that's Sarah. It's Sarah's turn. Just yodel it.
Are you just gonna do like yodel the whole shit?
I will. I will do it. I accept that challenge.
Do it.
I'm gonna yodel like the aliens do, and that just means close the iris. Okay, ready? Woo!
Done. Iris closed.